listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start with the NCAA championship game where Virginia, it took overtime, but beats Texas Tech 85-77 last night. The Cavaliers winning the national title. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of what we saw last night in Minneapolis?
Well, I've got a question. I'm so curious about the answer. Brad, can you guess what I want to ask? It looked like you had a knowing smile on your face. Here's the question. Brad Power's famous power ratings. Is Virginia higher rated than before the tournament or not?
Even though Virginia just won the national championship, just won six games in a tournament, I have Virginia lower in my power ratings right now today than what I had Virginia coming into the NCAA tournament. Remarkable. Win six games, you win the national championship, and I have Virginia about a point lower than what I had six games ago, RJ.
So how many coaches have more than three national championships? I mean, there's like only a handful, yeah. Right? Coach K's in the mix.
Yep.
You win something that the very best coaches pretty much in college basketball will win three, like a Bobby Knight wins it three times.
Yep.
And somehow you think they're worse than they would have been if they had lost in the first round.
Well,
I guess it would have been an adjustment. But if somehow they would have decided, you know, last year, Virginia, we lost a 16 seed, we're going to forfeit this game.
We're going to take the tournament off.
They would have actually had a higher Brad Powers power rating. And somehow you're standing behind that.
I am standing behind it.
So, I mean, that's the question. That's the question is, doesn't this make you, it's almost like if some statistical formula made you pick LeBron James over Michael Jordan, you got to say, stop the calculations. Something's wrong.
You would think so.
But you seem comfortable.
I am comfortable because I can make a strong case that Virginia in all six games, expectations being the Vegas line, Virginia very well could be 0-6 against the number. And that's the basis of my power ranks is, you know, judging what it is in comparison to a Vegas line. And I got a Virginia team that very, at least at the end of regulation, was 1-5 against the number in these six games. And that one cover was by about 1.5 against Oklahoma, Fez.
Yeah, you have to downgrade Virginia. Look at their body of work in this tournament. They're playing a 12 seed Oregon. The game is tied with under 4 minutes to play. They're playing a 3 seed Purdue. In the final seconds, Virginia has a 10% chance to win that game against a 5-seed Auburn. In the final seconds, they have a 10% chance to win. Texas Tech in the final seconds. Oh, they've got a 20% chance, twice as much. Add or multiply those three together, a 1 in 500 chance that Virginia got to cut down the nets, but they did.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. That's Steve Fezzik. Now the question to Brad. He laid out the math. Hard to argue with it. We made a bet.
Yeah, we did.
My side of the bet is called the right side. You took four teams.
Yep.
They were
Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and Kentucky.
I took everybody else.
Yep.
And I said, but you know, even money's not quite good enough for me. I want you to give me 4-1. You said, okay.
Horrible.
But somehow I'm paying you $250 instead of you paying me $1,000.
Yep. I almost felt sorry for you, RJ. I mean,
you are one of the least empathetic people on the planet. So even if you felt like a deep in your belly twinge of that, that's really progress for Brad Powers.
It is.
But Brad, you texted me that RJ is going to have to ship it after the final came in on this game.
Even though I missed a rare show yesterday for illness, you might hear it in my voice. He's like, F that, ship it. Brad Power. I mean, listen. I mean, there's not a lot of guys with the rep Brad Powers has that has this drop in his mix.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
And we just found out why. A couple other things I want to talk about. So the Final Four, we started the conversation that the one-and-doners didn't really matter. I would make the case Virginia and Texas Tech, Power 5 programs, obviously, but they are the most like a lower-level school amongst the Power 5, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're in the finals.
Yep.
Is that just a fluke? Is that something that we got to say, to whatever degree we felt like senior leadership, time playing with each other matters, we got to upgrade that more? What's the macro takeaway?
Macro takeaway, I think you start with both coaches. Both coaches are elite, and Tony Bennett for Virginia and Chris Beard for Texas Tech. While they don't have a lot of stars in their lineup, at least stars coming out of high school as far as recruiting services go, these two teams do have lottery picks, at least one player on each team. So the fact you got an experienced team, elite coach, and at least your best player, Virginia's DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver for Texas Tech being lottery picks, I think it was that perfect combination, RJ.
I think the whole elite...
Well, hold on a second. We're comparing Duke... who, coming into the year, the expectation was they would have the top three picks in the draft.
Yes.
And you're mentioning that one of the players on Texas Tech might be taken 14th.
On top of, yeah, great point, RJ. But keep in mind, those three players for Duke, all true freshmen, these guys for Virginia and Texas Tech are upperclassmen.
And that's my point. If anything, it makes the distance between the players and talent even more vast. Right, because it only takes 1 year for these, you know, great one and doneers to be at the top of the draft, and the Texas Tech guy and the, you know, these other players are working hard to just be somewhere in the teens after 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So you're making my case. It just feels like the debate's over. Is it better to do it like Texas Tech or Duke? And it seems like we now know.
Better to do it as Texas Tech. Since we started the one and done, John Calipari did at Kentucky, and Duke's really, you know, emphasized it here the last few years. One national title in basically a decade for those two programs using the one and done.
Hmm. So Duke, how many has Duke won in the last 10 years?
Well, they won in 2010, RJ, but that was a senior-laden team.
Okay, so
after they did with Kyrie Irving, they started the one and done.
And it hasn't won one?
They've won one.
Okay, well, Kentucky won one, right?
Two titles.
Okay.
Very good, RJ.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
Guys, also, there was an injury that was brought up on the show yesterday and that we think may have played a major impact in the game. Brad Powers spotted this. So does Vegas think that that injury to a Texas Tech player had the impact that Brad thought it would going into that game last night?
Well, first off, it seems to me Brad's gotten enough credit. But okay, Brad, you spotted this yesterday. Make your case.
Well, it was the player's name for Texas Tech is Tariq Owens. And obviously, he was dealing with an ankle injury that he suffered in the Final Four semifinal game against Michigan State. Just reading the coach's, Chris Beard's, quotes said, hey, any other game, RJ, Tariq Owens is not going to play. But since this is a national title game, he's going to go ahead and give it a go. And if you don't know who Tariq Owens is, we gave this stat yesterday. It's a simple stat. Defensive plus minus basically means per 100 possessions, how does the team do with you on the floor? How does the team do without you on the floor? And Tariq Owens, number one player in the country as far as defensive plus minus, less than 100%, and it really showed last night.
Yeah, Owens finishes with 3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and frankly, it seems like he got all of those in the first 12 minutes of the game and then just ran out of gas with the ankle and the knee injury.
And keep in mind, you could kind of see it. Looks like he, you know, speculating here, maybe took a shot, was fine, and looked good early in the game, but basically was a non-factor in the second half.
You mean like
half.
Just one Jim Beam and he was ready to go?
No.
Oh.
Nice. But it looked like it was clearly a factor later in the game. And, oh, yeah, that's where DeAndre Hunter seemed to go off for Virginia, was in the second half of the overtime, scoring 22 of his 27 points.
Last question. I'm RJ Bell. Steve Fezzik, straight out of Vegas. Steve. Have we ever seen a champion that won the 6 games have so many different spots during the 6 they could have lost?
All I can think of is NC State, all the way back to 1983, virtually drawing dead against Pepperdine, close wins against UNLV, Virginia, very fortunate win against Houston.
Oh, I thought that Houston was locked up. I said, five slam a who? Well, listen, let's give Brad one more last piece of credit. You said, I mean, this is maybe even December, with all the college knowledge, you said, yeah, Duke's mighty good, but I've got Gonzaga as a top 10 team in the last 10 years, and I've got Virginia as a top 10 team in the last 10 years. You said it on air.
I did.
And that's pretty strong.
But I do feel a little guilty. This Virginia team,
Well, listen, we can make this really simple. Just wave the bat.
No. Unless you want to go back in hindsight and wave that bat, the Ohio State-Washington Rose Bowl, where the Buckeyes are up 28-3, RJ. That's when I turned from feeling bad to thinking, oh, RJ got one on me on that one.
I don't even remember that.
Brad was telling me he was updating his spreadsheet with his bets against you, RJ, when this game went final.
Oh, my God. It's kind of scary sitting alone in his apartment. What? You got a little 1,100 square footer,
yeah.
Right? And he's like calculating all his games. Oh.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Aaron Rodgers has spoken out against a Bleacher Report article that came out last week in which he called it a smear campaign. He took shots at Greg Jennings, Fox Sports One personality and former Packers teammate. Aaron Rodgers saying nothing that you saw in the article was accurate. The Mike McCarthy relationship really defended himself and the Packers organization in response to the article that came out a week ago. So, with that being said, how does Vegas take what we've seen in Green Bay this offseason and look ahead to next year?
Well, Fez, you're the Vegas expert. What do you think?
Well, I think Green Bay right now is stack ranked the number 9 team in the NFL. They're supposed to win 9 games, and I think that that is very optimistic. Green Bay only won 6 games last year. Aaron Rodgers has had significant injuries 2 years ago and last year with his knee. And frankly, RJ, you put me onto this. Aaron Rodgers has not been the elite quarterback that everyone expects, not just the last 2 years, but the last 4 years. I think Green Bay under 9 is a sound investment.
It seems to me that Aaron Rodgers, it's not just last season. I mean, as you said, we've got 4 years on the pass or the yards per attempt.
Exactly right. So if we go back throughout his career until 4 years ago, he was always getting more than 8 yards per attempt, which is elite. In the last 4 years, he has fallen short of that 8 yards per attempt, which makes him more just a mortal average type of quarterback.
That's DeFezzik, Straight Out of Vegas. But let's make sure we're asking the right question. If we were asking who's at fault, who's the bad guy, Colin, who, for whatever reason, spends about as much time being negative about Aaron Rodgers as Jonas spends being negative about Colin. So right, I don't understand any of it. Right? I'm just trying to do a good radio show, not personal stuff. But Colin does seem to be anti-Aaron. So I think that you could make the case that Aaron's the party that's been wrong here. But he's been the same way throughout pretty much his whole career. Since he started, right? So the question becomes, what kind of effects it going to have?
Yeah, and it might.
Well, you're going to tell me it may or it may not have effect.
It probably is going to give him extra motivation. Bottom line is, RJ, he's still 35. All that motivation in the world isn't going to keep him healthy necessarily.
Now, you know, we've got some listeners that's been listening 5-6 years. Fez, how long ago did you first predict that Tom Brady was going to slow down?
Oh, 5 years ago.
I mean, seriously, 5 years ago.
1 year, I'll be right, RJ.
I don't know if you know this. Father Time is undefeated.
I do have a question for you guys, though, when you factor in this stuff. Do you think that this is just sort of the first peek behind the curtain that a lot of people are getting? And the reason I bring that up is we saw the same thing with the Patriots. In early 2018, there was that Seth Wickersham article that was like a 7-page piece put together by Wickersham where he talked about the dysfunction in New England and them not getting along. And since then, New England has been to 2 Super Bowls, and you could argue they should have won both of those. Is this just more us overreacting to our first glimpse behind the curtain, and this is just kind of a normal thing, or is there really something to it that you guys could take into next year?
I think there's 2 caveats. One is the Patriots article was so amazing because it was like one of the first times it ever happened with all that success. I also think this Packers article is a little different because it does seem so extreme. I mean, obviously writers are trying to be dramatic. But, I mean, Jonas, you are consuming the media all day, every day, Didn't it feel like one of the more extreme stories?
Yes, and a lot of the details in there, I did feel like it was sort of spun to give it more of an edge. You know, Mike McCarthy sneaking a masseuse up during team meetings, things like that. Which
and
I
was
just,
it the same? Was it the same one for Miami or not?
No, it was not.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know how much controversy there was.
Yeah, no, but I just I
but
did,
I'm having a vision now too. Yeah, I mean, I just made a big mistake.
Of course, yeah. You know, Mike McCarthy or Bob Kraft. You don't want to go down those roads.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.